wonderfully well. So well. By the way, some of you, my wife does this with no permission given at all. But if I am ever too quiet, you may go like this, and if I don't see you, go like this. And you're not going to disturb me at all, because I know I tend to drop my voice or tend to cut out. So please, don't be back. Okay? We're one thing. Okay? It's good to be back here. I enjoy being with you. You're very responsive. Some people are like my grandma once said when I was first in seminary and preaching. Some people sit there like, I'm not responsive. He said, well, you just don't be scared of them. Just think of them as a bunch of cabbage heads. You're not like cabbage heads. You're responsive and listening. That's a wonderful kind of thing. Last week we talked about how it is that with is God's way. We began with Matthew chapter 1, where the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, betrothed to Mary, and saying, she will be bearing a child, and his name, he is Emmanuel, God with us. And then Matthew 18, God with us, Jesus, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. And then the last word of the Gospel of Matthew, the Great Commission, go, for I am with you always. And then Romans 12, in terms of we are to be with each other, rejoicing with each other, grieving with each other, sharing life. Now today picks up from that base. And I want to just set something fully out front here. We got here a few minutes early and kind of drove around and saw the Unitarian Universalist Church two blocks away. And I thought to myself, how would a Unitarian Universalist pastor speak on this passage that we're going to read? It's going to be a very different interpretation. Two are stronger than one, being together. But we are a people in whom Jesus Christ lives, the body of Christ, the one in whom his spirit is alive. And so it is we who would say, I'm Easter morning, and I'm Easter morning, I got it all. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. We are the people with a risen Lord. By grace, I am saved. Through faith, and not of myself, is a gift of God. We are his beloved people. And so it's in that shared perspective that we speak. And so we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom, something like the Proverbs, but more along the lines of, what's it all about, Alfie? What is it just for the moment we live? No, what's it all about? And then these words of, we believe, Solomon, but we aren't for sure that it was he who wrote. And again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Hey, Ken, you got something going on? Let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we are together this morning, we ask that by your Spirit you would give us a sense that this is your word to us, your encouragement in who we are. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're stronger together. Don't go alone. Bottom line, after you've forgotten everything else, in Jesus Christ, we are stronger, better, wiser, together. Don't go alone. Years ago, when I was a new pastor in another congregation, I did a funeral for a lady I hardly knew. That's always a little difficult. She had been unresponsive and dying, and I was at the care facility and held her hand and prayed and read scripture. And while I sat there, I noticed on her bedstand a Bible. And I took the liberty of opening the Bible. And there was a bookmark to a passage, and it was marked up. Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? But even if mothers forget, the Lord says, I will never forget you. Never. For look, I have engraved your name on the palm of my hand, for you are mine. And echoing the words of the Song of Solomon, I am his and he is mine. The Lord knows us, is with us. And as his people, we are called, we know him at a certain level. And we are called to know and to be with each other. And how does that happen? It was one of these, thank you, Lord, this is a neat surprise. Name tag, Sunday. Wahoo! Oh, I could look at your name. And smile and fake it as if it was right on your forehead. But I'll let you know a little secret. Tell you a story first. Her name is Betty. She became a part of our congregation almost 30 years ago. And she was on our latest search team. And in telling about her heart's desire for a pastor, one of the stories she told was, when I first came to this church, I thought, this is a people I think I could worship with and become a part of. But when I came back the second Sunday and I was greeted, hi, Betty, it's good to have you back. She was like, wow! She remembered that for almost 30 years. The Lord knows my name. It's critical for us to know each other's names. Not just to impress people in a sales perspective, but to begin to get to know each other. I'll let you in on my own secret. I write your names down. Don and Jean, I didn't need to write down. I knew them from years ago. But Steve Aho, when we met at Classes, and Gary and Gail Miller, and Bob Dimestra, and Carla, I think? Yes. Because they had invited me over years ago when I was preaching here. Mary Jane, Steve, and Linda, who are going to get married March 7, I think. Do I have it right? Yeah. And Mark Franke, who was behind the coffee table last Sunday. And Mike Ivey, worship leader, last Sunday. And then Brian and Kathleen at the door. I knew Kathleen. And then Jody Hahn from the Leadership Development Network. And others of you this morning. And we can go on. All right, what's the point? There is within each of us two conflicting kinds of things. One is a thirst for anonymity, and the second is for intimacy and to be known. God has created his people to be known and to know each other. So how do we do that? But before we get to the how, I want to talk more in terms of why. Why is this important? Not just for practical reasons, but it's because who we are There are times when we want to be alone, when we need to be alone. Solitude and silence, there's something that happens in solitude and silence that can be nourishing and nurturing in times of reflection. And Lord, what are you saying? Without all the clutter of other people around. But there are other times when life is of loneliness. And sometimes we are alone through no choice of our own. This woman of whom I spoke, who was dying, had spent decades alone through no choice of her own, through no fault of hers. And so aloneness is not a fault. And yet, at times it can be nourishing, at other times it can be just the ache. But there are times when we are called not to be alone, when I don't want to bother people, where I don't want to be the center of attention, is harmful. I read once of a doctor. They were having lunch together in the lunchroom at the hospital. And he began to kind of choke and to gag, and he didn't want to make a scene, so he went to the restroom. They found him dead. He choked at a table with other medical people. And if he would have, I'm not woulda, coulda, shoulda, and faulting him, I'm not. But if he would have said, there could have been help. He had to let people know of his need. Sometimes we don't have the choice, but other times we do have the choice. Part of it is the, I don't want to paint a bad guy here, but in terms of American individualism, I can do it! And there is a certain need to prove ourselves when alone becomes an adventure, and I can do it. If I can quote from Hezekiah 14, follows Hosea, Joel, Amos, Joab, Hezekiah. Not making that up. There's a time to go it alone and a time to refrain from going it alone. I made that up, but that's truth. There is a time to go alone. There's a time to refrain from going it alone. We are one body. And in my fear of being known, I sometimes hold you at arm's length. We hold each other at arm's length. But the truth is, we need each other. I need you, you need me, we need each other. We are, in scriptural terms, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church, the ones called together. And it is good to have others with whom to laugh and share and pray and play and work. Proverbs says, there is a friend who loves in a way that not even a brother can love. And yes, there's that, the Lord, at the heart of it all. But we are to be those who are there for each other. Proverbs 18, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. And when you sharpen a knife, or use the steel to get the edge off, it isn't always a comfortable kind of a deal. There are times when we say, excuse me, we need to talk. And we sit down eyeball to eyeball. And if we can, holding hands even, and say, look, what you said was not helpful. It was hurtful to me and to others. I love you, friend. But I need to tell you that. We need to have the kinds of relationships where we can speak truth in love and not just to clear the air. We need to walk together. Jesus is much more than our model, and I appreciated Steve's prayer. Creator, shepherd, savior. Jesus was much more than a model, but Jesus had his 12 disciples, and in the 12, he had Peter, James, and John. And in the book of Acts, you read of Peter and James, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Priscilla and Aquila. We need others in our lives. God has not designed us to go it alone. Two are better than one. Reasons. Synergy. Synergy is by definition. When two or more things produce an effect greater than the sum of their individual efforts. In other words, if you have two horses who are pulling together, and each could just pick a number, could drag 1,000 pounds. Two together would be, what, 2,000? No. 2,500 or 3,000 pounds, because together they can do more than they can individually. That's how it is when we are God's people together, using our gifts. Ecclesiastes 4, they have a good return for their work. And so building relationships, deep relationships with each other, is absolutely critical. We have needs. We have blind spots. I have a blind friend who is now with the Lord. But I love going visiting with him because he saw things that I didn't see. And when we went places, I was his seeing eye dog. He had his arm on my shoulder. We needed each other because we are gifted differently. We just see things. Even on the way this morning, my dear wife, Donna, oh, you see that one? Oh, yeah, you're right. I had seen the car coming from the left, but it hadn't really registered. We see things for each other because we are just different. Synergy, support. There are times when we're down. All of us are down. We all get down at different times, physically, emotionally, spiritually. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 10. But pity the man, the one who falls and has no one to help him up. We keep each other warm emotionally, spiritually together. If two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm? Silly story, briefly. I went on a motorcycle trip down to Mexico one spring. My friend and I left early spring, and partway there it snowed and it blew. And we did a silly thing trying to stay warm. We put both of our sleeping bags in one, and we both tried to get into the sleeping bag together. And well, memories. If you can imagine a big guy and me in one sleeping bag, we didn't go like spoons, we were back to back. But it's like, but that's the image that comes to mind, trying to keep warm. Why? Because two together encourage, support, warm each other up. We're stronger together. Verse 12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. It can be broken, but not quickly broken. We help defend each other. We hold each other accountable. There's a buddy system that we voluntarily commit ourselves to, of being honest with each other. There's a pastor, Les Kuyper is his name. Some of you have heard of Les. He and I, when he was in the area and then even beyond, were prayer partners for over 15 years. We could be honest with each other. Nobody else would know. If I was struggling, he was struggling. We could pray for each other and know that somebody was holding us in prayer before the Lord. We don't share everything in the whole congregation, but there are people with whom we need to walk and to share. We're stronger together than we are alone. Imagine that. Synergy and strength and support and security. In a nutshell, how do you do that? A wonderful place to begin is as you have done this morning. Hey, Steve. And you cheat a little and you look at each other's names. Or you write it down so that, hey, Mark, I haven't seen you since the coffee table last week. You know, how does it begin? You begin with knowing names of children. Hey, Zane, it was so good to see you passing the mic around during prayer time. And he beams because somebody knows his name.
Hey, Rolando, it's good to see you in church again. I missed you the last couple weeks. Somebody knows, somebody cares, somebody misses me. Hey, Sue, it's great to see you home from college. I didn't get to talk to you last time. Wow, how is it doing with you? Younger, older, all of us need that. Somebody to care. And how do we do that? It begins with names. Not just once in a while. Not just cheating so you can, oh yeah. But knowing enough to care. And that comes out, really the bottom line, is to pursue deeper relationships with each other. Pursue deeper relationships with each other. It begins with knowing names, but that's a place to begin. And then knowing people and spending time together, sharing life and food and time and a ball game. And, whatever. You have fun goofing around together. More studies have done, more than just one, that you know what's most meaningful for children and young adults as they grow into adulthood, spiritually speaking, is to have somebody in the congregation who knew them, who cared for them, who prayed for them, who in some sense became Jesus with skin on to them, God with us. How do we do this? Spend time together, share life, in your home, in a third place. There's some people who are dear friends who they'd never let me into their home. I don't know if she was a messy housekeeper or what the deal was, but we can go out to coffee or we could go hunting together. However it is, any excuse is a good excuse. Just do it. So that you can become the kind of a friend that somebody said true friends are the friends you can tell anything and they love you anyway. Two are better than one. Two are stronger than one. We need each other. Church is God's idea. Not just gathering together in rows, but worshiping one Lord, having one faith, one baptism, one life in Jesus Christ. We're stronger together. I want to conclude with a story. If you want to get the children's book, if I remember it right, it's called Farmer Herman and the Flooded Barn. And if you don't want to get the book, I don't get royalties, by the way. You can look it up on YouTube. The Bruno, B-R-U-N-O, Bruno, Nebraska, Barn Move. In 1988, Father Herman, farmer, and his son and wife were sitting at the table and going, man, we got to do something about the barn. The river has been undercutting and it's getting flooded and more frequently the barn is getting wet and soaked. It's not good for the barn, it's not good for the animals, it's not good for the feeds, it's not good. How do we move it? Well, they had checked and found it would be how many thousand dollars to move the barn? Man, that's not worth it, but we can't lose the barn. What can we do? And the 22-year-old son said, hey, Dad, how about if we just get a bunch of people and everybody grabs a hole? What? That's a silly idea. Well, the son went out to the barn, measured each board, calculated how much the whole barn would weigh if they did iron strapping around it with handles and bolts and the whole thing. 16,000 pounds. Well, shoot, if we had 344 people, that's how many, if you figured you were all 18 inches apart or something or whatever with a handle, it'd be less than 50 pounds apiece. Well, it turned out the Bruno Centennial was coming up in a couple of months. So they let the word out. And they had more than 344 people show up. Even YouTube. I mean, you just look it up. And they lifted it up. And these 344 people moved that barn up the hill and set it down. We are stronger together than we are alone. As Jesus' people, called to be his body, his bride, his joy for the world. In a lonely world, God is with us. We are to be with each other. Let's pray together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you for your goodness to us in so many ways, for saving us when we grieve over our sin and are able to say, Lord Jesus, I can't. Please forgive me. When you give us life and fill us then with your Spirit, and when you give us a body with whom, a people with whom to live and to share life, we give thanks to you. Pray, Lord, that we may more and more be your hands and your feet in your world. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.